Welcome to the deep dive. Today, we're going to be looking at the Book of Daniel.
Okay.
It's a book that you seem to be really interested in,
Yeah, definitely.
and we're going to try to help you figure it out. Is it history or is it prophecy or
Yeah, that's the big question, right?
yeah, maybe it's both.
Could be a little bit both.
Yeah, so we're going to uncover the hidden layers of this book.
Yeah, I think a really good place to start with that is the question of who wrote it.
Okay.
And that gets surprisingly tricky when you're talking about ancient texts.
Right.
There are multiple viewpoints on this, and each one kind of leads you down a different path.
Well, I love a good mystery.
Yeah.
And Daniel has it all. Secret codes, prophetic dreams, kings going crazy.
It's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot to take in. So where do we even begin?
Well, I think it's important to recognize right off the bat that the Book of Daniel is kind of a hybrid.
Okay.
It's a mix of narrative storytelling and apocalyptic prophecy.
So what do you mean by that? Like it's a blend of genres.
Yeah,
And
exactly.
does that make interpretation more challenging?
Absolutely.
Huh.
On the one hand, you have these captivating stories about Daniel and his friends
Right.
navigating the Babylonian court, remaining faithful under pressure. But then suddenly you're thrust into these surreal symbolic prophecies
Yeah.
about empires rising and falling,
Okay.
described in puzzling imagery and cryptic language.
So it's like you're putting together a puzzle where some of the pieces are from a historical painting
Yeah.
and others are from an abstract work of art.
Exactly.
Wow.
And that duality brings up some pretty big questions.
Like what?
Like, should we read the historical stories as literary accounts?
Okay.
Or are they trying to convey something deeper?
Okay.
And how do those stories even connect the apocalyptic prophecies that
Right.
follow?
Okay. So the source material that you provided
Yeah.
points out that the placement of Daniel in the Bible actually varies.
Right.
So in the Hebrew Bible, Daniel's part of the writings, but in the English Bible, it's included with the prophets.
That's right.
So is that just a minor organizational detail, or is there something more to it?
It actually reflects a much deeper debate about the book's purpose and when it was actually written,
Oh, really?
because placing Daniel in the prophets
Yeah.
suggests a certain authority
Okay.
and a focus on foretelling future events,
Right.
but grouping it with the writings in the Hebrew Bible might suggest a different emphasis,
Okay.
perhaps on wisdom or reflection or even historical record keeping.
Okay, so we've got a genre puzzle and a placement puzzle.
That's right.
This is making my head spin.
Yeah.
I think the next logical question is, did the historical figure of Daniel actually write this book?
Right.
Or is there another possibility?
Yeah, so let's start with the traditional view, which says that Daniel, the
Yeah.
person, wrote the book while he was in exile in Babylon during the 6th century BC.
Okay.
Seems pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
You know, the book's named after him.
Right.
Big part of it focuses on his experiences.
But even the material that you sent
Yeah.
mentioned some inconsistencies with that.
Yeah.
The stories are about Daniel,
Right.
but they're written in the third person. You know, wouldn't he have written about himself in the first person?
That's a great observation. It is
Yeah.
a bit unusual.
Okay.
And there's another layer to this.
Okay.
The first person accounts of visions in the second half of the book,
Uh-huh.
those do come from Daniel's perspective.
Right.
But some of them are actually nested within a third person narrative.
Wait, I'm trying to picture that like a literary nesting doll.
Yeah,
How does that
it
work?
could be a bit confusing.
Yeah.
And this structure has led some scholars to propose a completely different timeline,
Okay.
often called the critical view or the late date.
Okay.
This theory suggests that the book wasn't written until much later during the time of the Maccabean Revolt
Okay.
in the 2nd century BC.
So instead of Daniel writing it during the Babylonian exile,
Yeah.
it was written centuries later by, well, do we even know who we're, was it someone writing under the name Daniel
That's the idea.
to make the message more powerful?
Exactly. And there's some evidence that supports this theory.
Like what?
Well, for instance, the book mentions a king named Darius the Mede.
Okay.
But there's no historical record of this king outside of the Book of Daniel.
That does sound a little suspicious.
Yeah, a little bit, right?
So is there anything else that points to a later writing date?
Well, remember those detailed prophecies we talked
The
about?
ones that almost read like a history textbook?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, if the book was actually written during the Maccabean Revolt,
Okay.
those prophecies could actually be describing events that had already happened.
Wait, are you saying they might have been writing about the past,
Yeah.
but making it seem like they were predicting the future?
Right.
Why would they do that?
Well, that's where we encounter this really fascinating concept called ex eventu prophecy,
Okay.
which is essentially a literary technique where historical events are presented as if they were future predictions.
I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, that might seem odd to us now,
Right.
but it was a technique that was sometimes used in ancient literature.
Okay, so can you give me an example of how this might have worked?
Sure. Imagine someone writing a book about, let's say, George Washington.
Okay.
In the year 1990.
Okay.
The author has Washington prophesying about the American Revolution.
Okay.
The Civil War, all these major events that had already happened.
Right.
But then he makes predictions about things in the 1990s mm-hmm. that aren't quite accurate.
So they're using accurate depictions of the past
yeah.
to build credibility.
Exactly.
But then trying to make real predictions about the future.
You got it.
Okay.
And it's thought that this technique might have served a powerful purpose for the original audience.
How so?
Well, imagine you're facing persecution.
Okay.
And then you read about a figure who endured similar trials in the past,
right.
knowing that they were ultimately vindicated.
Okay.
It would instill a sense of hope and confidence.
Yeah, I can see that.
And presenting history as preordained prophecy
yeah.
would have reinforced the belief that God was in control.
Right.
Even when things seemed chaotic and hopeless.
So this is really making me rethink how I approach the Book of Daniel.
Yeah.
We've got a lot to consider here.
They do.
So are we saying that the Book of Daniel is a piece of historical fiction carefully crafted to inspire hope?
It's possible.
Or is it genuine prophecy written centuries earlier?
That's the million-dollar question.
Right.
And honestly, there's no simple answer.
Yeah.
The Book of Daniel encourages us to grapple with these questions, to consider different viewpoints,
right.
and to wrestle with the complexities of faith history and how we interpret ancient texts.
So how does knowing all of this affect how we understand the book's message?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to delve into next.
Okay.
We'll explore the implications of these different viewpoints
okay.
and see how they shape our understanding of the Book of Daniel's message.
All right. Sounds good. I'm ready for part two.
Let's do it.
Okay, I'm still processing all of this. We went from a genre puzzle to a potential historical mystery.
It's a lot to unpack.
It is a lot to unpack, but now I'm wondering what it all means.
Right.
How do these different perspectives on authorship and dating actually change how we understand the book's message, both for its original audience and for us today?
That's the core question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, we want to know what the Book of Daniel has to say about faith.
Right.
About resilience. About how to live in a world that doesn't always make sense.
Exactly. It's one thing to debate the historical context, but ultimately, we want to understand what this book can teach us about navigating the challenges of life.
Absolutely. So let's revisit the traditional view.
Okay.
The idea that Daniel himself wrote the book during the Babylonian exile.
Okay.
From this perspective, the book becomes a testament to the faithfulness of God, even in the midst of captivity and oppression.
So it's like that classic dare to be a Daniel message we often hear, standing up for your beliefs, even when it means facing a den of lions,
right.
whether literally or metaphorically.
Exactly. And the prophecies viewed through this lens
yeah.
are seen as genuine predictions of future events.
Okay.
Offering hope and assurance that God is ultimately in control of history.
Okay.
Working out his purposes even when things seem chaotic.
Okay. So in that view, the book offers a message of hope and perseverance, of trusting God's plan, even when surrounded by difficulty.
Right.
But what happens if we shift gears and consider the late date theory, the idea that it was written centuries later during a time of intense persecution under Antiochus IV Epiphanes?
That's where things get really intriguing.
Okay.
If the book was written during the Maccabean Revolt,
uh-huh.
then it takes on a whole new layer of meaning as a work of resistance literature.
Okay.
Imagine you're a Jewish person living under Antiochus's rule.
Okay.
Your temple has been desecrated. Your religious practices are outlawed.
Right.
And you're facing a very real threat of annihilation?
Yeah.
Then someone hands you this book disguised as a prophecy from centuries ago, but actually speaking directly to your current situation.
Oh, wow. So it'd be like finding a secret percent of hope and defiance hidden in plain sight?
Exactly. And in that context,
okay.
the idea of exeventual prophecy, while a bit mind-bending at first,
right.
actually makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
By presenting past events as if they were predictions,
uh-huh.
the author could instill a sense of inevitability,
okay.
showing that God had always been in control, just as he had delivered his people in the past.
I'm starting to see how the late date theory adds a whole new dimension to the book's message. But if parts of the book might be using this exeventual prophecy technique, does that mean it's not really prophecy?
Right.
Does that somehow diminish the book's authority or its power to speak to us today?
That's a question a lot of people wrestle with.
Yeah.
And it's certainly a valid concern, but I believe that understanding the literary techniques used in the Book of Daniel doesn't diminish its message. It actually enhances it.
How so?
Remember, we're talking about ancient literary conventions here.
Right.
The idea of exeventure prophecy wasn't seen as deceptive or dishonest.
Okay.
It was a way of connecting the past, present, and future.
Okay.
Of showing that God's actions in history had meaning and purpose.
Okay.
Even when those purposes weren't immediately clear.
So it's not about saying, oh, well, it's just a story. It's about recognizing the artistry and sophistication of the storytelling and how that artistry serves a deeper purpose.
Precisely. And it's important to remember that Even if some parts of Daniel are referring to past events, the book still contains sections that many interpret as genuine predictions about the future,
okay,
particularly about the coming of a messianic figure and the establishment of God's kingdom.
Right, like those apocalyptic visions with the four beasts and the Ancient of Days. Those are some powerful images that have captivated readers for centuries.
Absolutely, and those visions, regardless of when they were written, speak to our deep human longing for justice, for peace, for a world where evil is ultimately defeated and God's reign is established.
So whether we see the book of Daniel as a historical account of faithfulness during exile, a work of resistance literature written during a time of persecution, or a complex blend of both, it offers a powerful message of hope, resilience, and the ultimate triumph of good over evil. But how do we take these ancient stories and prophecies and make them relevant in our own lives?
That's a great question, and it's one we'll explore in the final part of our deep dive.
Okay.
We'll look at some practical ways to engage with the book of Daniel, drawing strength and inspiration from its message and applying its wisdom to the challenges we face in the modern world.
Wow, we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive.
We have.
I have to admit, my initial perception of the book of Daniel has shifted quite a bit.
In what way?
Well, it's clearly more than just a collection of stories and prophecies. It's a book that grapples with some of the most profound questions of faith, identity, and resilience in the face of oppression.
You've hit the nail on the head. The book of Daniel isn't just about passive endurance.
Right.
It's about active engagement with the world around us.
I like that, active engagement.
Yeah.
But I think for many of us, the question becomes, how do we actually put those principles into practice in our daily lives?
Right.
What does it look like to be a Daniel in the modern world?
Well, it might not involve literal lions or fiery furnaces.
Right, of course not.
But it will involve those moments where you're called to make a stand.
Okay.
To choose what's right, even when it's unpopular or comes at a personal cost.
So it's about finding those everyday opportunities to demonstrate courage and conviction.
Exactly.
Even in small ways.
Even in small ways. Yeah, think about Daniel and his friends refusing to eat the king's food.
Right.
It wasn't just about dietary restrictions.
Right, it was symbolic.
It was a statement about maintaining their identity and their faithfulness to God, even when surrounded by a culture that was trying to assimilate them.
So it's about finding those subtle ways to resist conformity and stay true to your values, even when it feels like you're standing alone.
And it's about remembering that you're not alone.
Right.
The book of Daniel reminds us that God is always with us, even in the midst of trials and tribulations.
That brings me to another key takeaway for me. The book of Daniel isn't just about enduring hardship. It's about finding hope within those challenges. It's about trusting that even when things feel chaotic and uncertain, God is still at work and that ultimately good will triumph over evil.
You've captured the essence of the book's message. It offers a vision of hope that transcends circumstances.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether you embrace the traditional dating of the book or the late date theory, the core message resonates with a timeless power.
Yeah.
It speaks to the human experience of facing adversity and finding the strength to persevere.
So for those listening, as we delve deeper into the book of Daniel, keep those insights in mind. It's not just about decoding the mysteries, but about understanding how those mysteries connect us to the past and inspire us in the present.
Right.
It's about discovering how an ancient text can offer guidance and hope for navigating the complexities of the modern world.
And remember, the book of Daniel doesn't offer easy answers.
Right.
It invites us to grapple with complex questions.
Yeah.
To engage in thoughtful interpretation and to allow its timeless wisdom to shape our understanding of faith, resilience, and our role in the world.
Well, this has been an incredible deep dive.
It has.
Thank you for joining us on this journey through the book of Daniel. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep those deep dives going.